The views and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the speaker and don't necessarily represent those of the station, its staff, management, or ownership.
Good morning. You're finding out with Pete and Ellen. I'm Peter Leonard, and Ellen is not with us today, but we're hoping she's back next week. And we're lucky enough this morning to be on the air with Monica Robinson. She's from New Horizons Resources, and she's the coordinator of staff development. And we're going to find out what all that stuff is. Monica, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, I know you're in a new position. You were, for years, you were a house manager for New Horizons Resources.
Correct.
And what does a house manager do? I guess a house is like a group home, right?
It is. It's a home where individuals live, and they live like you or I would. Mm-hmm. My job is to make sure that they have the right supports in place. So it could be teaching cooking skills to one person, and it could be social skills for somebody else. But it really is to help people be as independent as they can be. Basically, if I'm doing a good job, it means that I'm standing back and kind of watching them and observing and not really doing a whole lot. And I know that sounds horrible to get paid to not do a whole lot, but that's really what my job is.
Yeah. And so implied in that is the stuff you already taught them is happening.
Correct.
And, I guess a lot of that would be judging what they have to learn next, what the individual has to learn next would
correct.
Be a big thing. And how much of it is just really knowing the people in the group home, if you're the manager?
Well, that's the most important thing, and the really great thing about New Horizons is they don't emphasize training in a classroom. They emphasize training and development and growth actually in the homes and working with people. Your best tool is the knowledge of the person that you're working with. So it's getting to know them, getting to know what they like and don't like. That's the most important thing. Finding out what someone likes, you can really help the development in any area of their life. If they like baseball, well, then make every part of learning around baseball, and you'll be surprised on how much somebody or how quickly someone can develop and grow.
And so I guess, you know, when we have traditional education, mm-hmm. it's okay to, you know, we're going to teach the people arithmetic today, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sort of, it's imposed from the outside. Whereas in your job at New Horizons, when you're working as a house manager, it's so individualized, and you're dealing with adults who have developmental disabilities,
mm-hmm.
and it can range from autism, Down syndrome, there's mental retardation, there's lots of ways in which people can have developmental disabilities, but all of them mean they learn differently.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think if I was teaching money management, you wouldn't see me sitting with a ledger next to somebody with a calculator. Mm-hmm. That would rarely happen. It could, but it would rarely happen. Yeah. It would happen more at the movie theater, trying to count out the right amount of dollars in order to pay for the ticket, on what snacks we're going to have. If we're going to have popcorn, do you need $10 for that, or do you need $5 for that? So it's very it's practical. It's real life in the moment learning. It doesn't really happen in a classroom. We approach development with the people we support the same way we support and develop our team, our staff.
And which I guess is the new part of the thing, mm-hmm. where you talk about the staff development. That's your
yes.
new job. But with dealing with the fellows, with people with developmental disabilities, there's a lot of things that other adults simply know how to do. And mm-hmm. money skills is one thing. You know, social interaction is another. But when you teach those things, they have to be in the actual circumstances. So
correct.
Okay. So
that's the best way to learn.
And I guess for everybody it
yes.
might be. But when you have people who have learning difficulties or learning challenges, to give them every advantage, mm-hmm. say, okay, you know, we're gonna buy a bottle of soda. It's $1.89. You know, that is not very relevant if you're sitting in a classroom.
And I have to be honest with you. I think if you asked the folks living in the houses, what did you learn today? I doubt they're going to say, I've learned money management skills and
yeah.
and now I have good social skills because I actually interacted with the person at the ticket booth. They're not going to say that. We're going to see it and we're going to see the growth, but they're going to know that they had a good time and they did what they mm-hmm. wanted to do and they're growing as a person.
Yeah. I mean, and the part where, you know, just a simple phrase like, they're going to know they had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
you know, 40 or 50 years ago in America, one of the things, if you had developmental disabilities, you were not going to have a good time that day.
Correct.
Right. You were going to be in a huge institution, and you were not going to be interacting with, you know, with people in a useful way or a happy way. And so the part where people with disabilities do continue to learn, although they learn differently and not as quickly as typical people, right? But they not only continue.
Well, that depends, because okay, I have to tell you that as far as kindness and being accepting of other people, I think that we can learn a lot from people with disabilities. Okay. I've met the most appreciative, caring, funny, kind people.
Okay.
And I have to tell you, it scares me when I think of what I would call a 9-to-5 job when I'm working with people who do not have disabilities. And I think they take life for granted. And that's a huge part of my job that I'm going to miss.
I mean, the truth is, I never thought of it that way. I mean, we're so, you know, heavy-handed in terms of, okay, these people who are labeled as having developmental disabilities, they learn slower. And what you're saying, you know, in our typical skills like, you know, arithmetic or spelling, a lot of times they do learn slower. But in terms of kindness or deeper human values, they can exceed what we come across in the typical world.
Absolutely.
And they also can exceed what we come across in the typical world in terms of, math and computer skills and spelling. I mean, right, there's mm-hmm. some guys and memory, right?
Yep.
And so how is that when you you have somebody who is already predetermined as being different or atypical, I guess is a better word. And, you know, lots of us are taught to be not comfortable because we have limited exposure to people with disabilities. Most of us are uncomfortable when we're around them. What would you say to somebody who is not around people with disabilities often? I mean, how should they relate to people as a general thing?
I hate to say this because it sounds kind of cheesy, but the people I've worked with who have disabilities mm-hmm. are exactly the same as I am.
Mm-hmm.
They are fearful of things. They find joy in things. They want relationships. They want to have a sense of independence and control. Every single thing that you would want or I would want is exactly what they want. They may learn it differently. They may communicate it differently. They may look different than you and I, but they're human beings.
When you say look different, their casual behavior may be peculiar.
Yes, and even visually, I mean, we look at people from different cultures, and there's characteristics from different cultures, and it's the same thing with take an individual with Down syndrome. It's an obvious thing, it's a visual thing. You can see that person has Down syndrome, but they're human, and I don't know how else to say it except that they're human. He or she is a person. He or she feels exactly what we feel. There's absolutely no difference at all.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to believe that. it makes it, it frees things up. Because, I mean, that some people feel if they just ignore the person, they won't, they tell themselves that they don't want to make the person feel bad. But what mm-hmm. they're mostly doing is protecting their own feelings because they don't know how to relate.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a handy tip that I have. And now there's a thing that you are, you might be uncomfortable with the word, but you're an expert now. We're one of our community experts in a thing called person-centered thinking. Now, I have heard in the past of person-centered planning.
Yes.
You want to explain, well, I guess first what person-centered planning was, because that came first in administratively, the way people started to introduce things, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it's, if you think about it, what came first, the chicken or the egg? I think that that's, you know, people get confused. I think that we did jump the gun, though. I think person-centered planning is really looking at each individual and how do we create a plan that helps support that individual interest and needs. What we forgot to train first is let's start thinking about that person as an individual. So it's pretty hard to create a plan when you can't even look at that person as being John or being Steve or being Sally. I think sometimes we pat ourselves on the back because John got to do a favorite outing that week, but it's not about that because John's still going back in the group home setting, eating the same meal as everybody else and on a shower time or it's really looking at that person as a whole. How long do you want to take a shower? It's up to you. When do you want to take a shower? Completely up to you. Do you want to eat what we're having or do you want to have a cheeseburger? It's up to you. If you think about yourself and you think about how many decisions you get to make on your own every single day, yes, there's some things that are out of our control. But for the most part, we have control over our lives. And then think of someone who has none. And it's sad. And I think that we haven't put enough emphasis on that. Person-centered thinking. Think about that person first.
Okay. And very quickly, you're going through, it comes down to choices when you say we make choices all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good category because typical people make so many choices during the day, we don't even recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the way the world is set up, that so many choices are already made for people in any kind of institution, including a group home.
Mm-hmm.
People with developmental disabilities have been systematically had choice taken away from them because, and the story was they don't know how to make choices.
Right. Or we know what's best.
Okay.
A health and safety point of view. How do we keep people as healthy and safe as we can? Because that's our job. That's what we're getting paid to do. And that's not a bad way to look at things. I think it's that's great. And that's what makes us feel good about ourselves is because we save somebody each day or we made sure they were safe that day. But it's more rewarding helping someone figure out for themselves what they consider.
So there's health, there's safety, and then there's freedom. And freedom is the ability to make a choice.
Yes.
So person-centered thinking, you want people to be safe.
Oh, absolutely.
You want people to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But once you're safe and healthy, if you're not free, you still have not really embraced your humanity.
Absolutely.
And so person-centered thinking is a way of taking what's probably the most fundamental idea in America, freedom, and saying that people with disabilities can participate and will participate because we're going to create the circumstances in which they're enjoying themselves enough that they're going to choose freely.
Great. Yep. That's exactly it.
Wow. You're finding out with Pete and Ellen. I'm Peter Leonard. Ellen's not with us this morning, but we are on the air with Monica Robinson, who works for New Horizons Resources. She was a house manager at one of the group homes on Angelo Boulevard in the town of Poughkeepsie. We're in LaGrange, I guess. And she is now the coordinator of staff development at New Horizons Resources. And this is a new position that has been created based on your training and expertise and disposition and talent for person-centered thinking. So what your job is different now. You've been in your new job only recently.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think can happen? What do you hope will happen with the staff in terms of their development?
I think that when I was working residentially and I was the residential coordinator, the manager of the house, a lot of my focus was on the people who lived at the home. I did provide supports to the team that immediately worked there. But now it's really how do I support the DSPs, the direct support professionals? How do I make sure that they have adequate training in order to do their job successfully? And doing their job successfully means how are they encouraging, how are they supporting and developing the people who live in the homes? How do we support somebody if they don't want to live there in the group home and they want to move out in their own home? Do DSPs have the tools to give them, to give the person that they're supporting knowledge about how do you move out? What are some of the skills you need to work on? Can they evaluate? Can they do that? So it used to be that I did all the evaluation and I figured things out and I observed. Now it's, how do I pass that training on to a DSP? How do they observe? How do they do the training? We have a wonderful group of DSPs. And right now they work with their hearts. They do what really feels good. And there's a lot of really happy people that live at New Horizons because of those DSPs. How do we make it even better? How do we get them to use their heads as much as their heart? And I think it's just going to help the people that live there advance even further.
Wow. That's real education. It's opening up another avenue. It's not as if the people, what they call direct support professionals with DSPs, are not doing a good job now, but you are under the impression they can do a better job if they take what they're already doing and doing it in a more deliberately and more consistently and more in a more conscious way.
Absolutely.
So if you raise the consciousness of the person, the direct support professional, you ultimately raise the level of happiness and energy in the person with disabilities, who's really the point of the whole thing.
Yeah, you made it sound a lot better than me.
No. If I did, it was an accident, okay? Or it might have been formal. Let me put it a different way. I had an experience. My son, Kevin, has lived in the house that Monica managed for the last 7 or 8 years. And he is what you call a happy person. And the reason he's happy is that his experience at New Horizons has been fantastic. And you know, Monica's whole group there and her personally have been responsible for this. Like I always say, if Kevin lived in my house with my wife and me for 1,000 years, he was not going to get as happy as he's gotten in the last 7 or 8 years. So, you know, that being said, but I went to the house the other day, you know, a month or so ago, and when I came in, you were in another room. And you yelled hello and whatnot, but usually, you know, you appear and there's a great greeting and everything is the party's on. And but then you came out a few minutes later and said, "I'm trying to get this knot. You're trying to tie a man's Windsor knot, right? For Luke, and Luke is one of the six men who live there because there was the big party the next day and you were laying out their clothes and there's a big thing called the winter." Gala or the winter ball.
The holiday formal.
I'm sorry, the holiday formal. And they wanted to make sure all the guys were, had their appropriate clothes and what they were comfortable in and whatnot. And so Luke needed a tie done. And you're good at things at a rate that exceeds other people. You're good at stuff. And yet the knot was not coming out as good as Luke wanted it. And I offered to help. And I never get to really help. So I offered to help, and I just did it. I've made probably 10,000 knots for myself over the years, I did it quickly. I did it easily. I did it perfectly. And when we put it on Luke, we recognized we did it perfectly for me, not for Luke. You know, Luke is shorter than I am.
Yep.
So, what I did was exactly what person centered thinking is not. Right. I mean, I did it for me. Mm-hmm. And the point is to do it for the person you're actually supporting. And so, you know, with that little example, I can see how, you know, if you think, oh, I can do everything, you know, I can tie the knot, I can tie the shoes, I can do this. Mm-hmm. That's not the point. The point is to do it for the person. And then, you know, mm-hmm. After it became clear that it had to be done a different way, I was able to fit in. But I think that's a good example of what person-centered thinking is.
That's
not
a great example. Yeah, yeah.
It goes again to the notion of what a competency is. Like I'm competent mm-hmm. at certain things, and being competent doesn't count unless you can do it for somebody else.
Yes, and that's difficult.
It's very difficult.
And I think when people think about it, they automatically, or they hear this is what we need to do, and we need to do it better. I think a natural instinct is to get defensive because I know that everybody that I work with at New Horizons is trying their hardest to make sure that people feel like their life is fulfilling and that they're a part of their community. So when we talk about let's do it a little differently, they automatically, well, what am I doing wrong? And no one's doing anything wrong. I can honestly say that. I know people aren't doing anything wrong. It's looking at it differently. And you gave a great example of that. It really is just seeing things differently and seeing that person for who they are and what they need and what they want.
And so, I mean, you know, Luke is a very talkative person, and he's also dapper. Like, he wants to look good, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, Luke is talkative and dapper, mm-hmm. and he wants to have the full confidence that he looks exactly that he looks a little better than everybody else with his tie. I mean,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
he looks there. And to understand that and to support that, support means, I guess, respect that emotion and make it come to fulfillment.
Yeah, and even if it doesn't make any sense to us, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
and I think that's important too. We try to come up with not easier ways, but things that make sense to us. Well, society would think this way, or I think this way, and my experience shows this, but it doesn't matter. If it doesn't matter to that person, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks.
And you know, somebody I can relate to on that is my son Kevin, who you know, because you have been such a major part of his life. Yeah, he's somebody who, you know, likes to dress up fancy. He's flamboyant. He likes to wear bracelets and earrings and all kinds of mm-hmm. Women's, what do they call them, accessories.
Yes.
But he'll put on like 8, 10, 12 bracelets, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen him do this, and I've always been stunned by it. He'll put them on, he'll take them, we'll put them back on. And then he says sometimes to himself, that's better. I'm thinking, better than what? It's all, I mean, how can you have, you know?
Yeah.
And yet, in his mind, he has an idea, which I don't know why that's better for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess if I was trained in person-centered planning, I'd be curious to know why he thinks that that's better. Now, he's not a guy who can, you know, lay it out in rational sentences, but it's an example of, he's really choosing something that I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe I'll never understand it, but the people working with him will make him freer if they respect that choice.
Right. And I know, speaking of Kevin, and I've told you this before, there is a hidden genius inside of his head. And he's done stuff and he's communicated in all different ways through his actions and from what he said. And it just makes me scratch my head and think, wow, he's so much smarter than me. Like, I just didn't – he's telling me now because I just couldn't figure it out. And he had to work all these different avenues in order for me to get it. And he shouldn't have to do that. But he was able to do it, and now I get it. And holy crud, he's brilliant, brilliant.
Well, that's not a term that usually gets thrown around by Kevin. But he's emotionally very attuned.
Mm-hmm.
And he,
yes.
And he also – is very, you know, like I say, he's a very happy person. And, you know, we're so thankful to New Horizon, the whole community, for supporting him. Because, you know, he's different looking. He's, you know, when he walks around, he talks to his hands. He makes believe he has Muppets on his hands, which can seem very strange to people at Adams or 7-Eleven or wherever he goes. And he also wears big flamboyant glasses like this woman, Dame Edna, with sparkles and feathers all around. So Kevin's different. Anybody who's been awake has probably seen him. You might remember him. But the person-centered thinking really focuses. It's a new form of training for the staff mm-hmm. that deals directly with people with disabilities.
Yes.
And your record of, you've been in the field for a long time now.
20
right?
years.
20, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really, and do you think that with the person-centered thinking, you'll be able to teach people how to do this better?
Oh, I believe, yes, absolutely. That's the goal. We can only get better.
Oh, man. getting better from fantastic is real. We don't even have a word for better than fantastic. But The Monica Robinson from New Horizons Resources, the new coordinator of staff development there, is looking forward to applying her experience, her training, and her optimism for making people with disabilities happier, freer, and better. Thanks for being with us on
Finding
Out.